Well, it's official. We now have some parents that can relax. Thank you, girls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have had this morning to come together as a local body of believers and to worship you and just to remember the significance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, when he would leave all of heaven's glory to come to this earth as a helpless baby, would grow and mature into the sinless man that would die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for that this morning. We just pray that you would just silence our hearts now as we turn to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about some of the truths we discovered in last week's message as we began our journey to Bethlehem, as we were looking through the significance of some of the things that we discovered in Matthew 1 and Luke 1, as the angel Gabriel would appear first to Zacharias as he was offering incense in the temple, then he would appear to Mary. And really, the silence had been broken, a silence that had occurred to the nation of Israel for 400 years, and it had been broken. And it says the silence is broken, that really we see that Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph are finding out for the first time that they are part of God's redemptive plan. It was clear that Zacharias and Elizabeth would have John the Baptist. He would be the forerunner of the Messiah to come. And then as Mary hears the words of Gabriel, Gabriel, the angel who stands in the presence of the Lord, would declare to her that she would conceive a son who of the Holy Spirit, that he should be named Jesus, and that he would be the Son of the Most Highest. He would be the Messiah. You know, and I was thinking through this, and I even mentioned it last Sunday night. You know, so many times I think we read the Bible and we read about people like Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, and we put them on a pedestal. We think, there was something about them that was super special, something about them that was different than you and I. And folks, I want us to rethink a little bit when we read the Bible and when we think about who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing different about them than us. Right? I mean, Mary was a young teenage girl from a town that no one knew about. Joseph, a carpenter. You know, Zacharias was a priest, but even as we discovered last night, he was one of thousands. And folks, I believe that you and I are just as much a part of God's redemptive plan as they were. And we saw that last week as we looked at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Folks, I can assure you this morning that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. Question this morning is, are we going to accept his call on our lives to serve? One of the reasons I ask that, because sometimes we resist. We resist putting ourselves out there. We resist serving him. And I mean, he's given us everything we need. He's given us the body of believers. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us everything that we need. Are we willing to accept that call for our lives? And the thing is, if we don't, I think we miss out. Because I believe when we actually do the things that we were created to do through Christ Jesus that were prepared beforehand, we will find blessings. And folks, I'm going to put an emphasis on spiritual blessings here. And I believe that as we do the things we were created to do, we are storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus would talk about on the Sermon on the Mount. And not only do we store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, we will find joy in serving Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Right, 2 weeks ago we looked at Philippians 4:4, right? And what did Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And it's as we serve him, as we accept the call to be who we have been created to be, that we will find blessings and we will find joy. But yet, for some reason, we can all be hesitant, can't we? And if you haven't already this morning, if you take a moment to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we're gonna continue on with the story of Mary and specifically Elizabeth as we continue on. You know, so far, as I've mentioned, we've seen that the angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary. It first appeared to Zacharias. Zacharias would question the angel and said, after he told him that they would have a son in their old age. That didn't go so well for Zacharias. He's done speaking for 9 months. Gabriel would leave Zacharias, make his way to Nazareth, a town that nobody really knows about. And Gabriel would explain to Mary that she was going to conceive. She was going to have a son as a virgin. Now, Mary questions Gabriel too. And at first, if you're reading the story, you're like, hey, well, Mary, don't do that. But in reality, it was, you know, the idea of her being a virgin and conserving and bearing a child, that goes against all nature. And the angel would assure her that it would be done through the power of God, and that what the baby that she would have would truly be a miracle. And so as we start this morning, as we think about accepting the call of God on our lives to use our gifts to do the works that He's created us to do, I think the first thing we're going to need is to believe. Now, we read on in the story. We're going to start in verse 39 and make our way to 45 this morning. We're going to see that the angels departed from Mary. You know, in verse 38, Mary would simply say, "Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed. And we pick up in verse 39 and read the following. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." But it's interesting that it's, you know, the angel includes the story of Elizabeth when he's talking to Mary. He says, even in her old age, she's going to have a son. And I think there was a purpose for that. I think God knew how Mary would respond. And we see she very quickly, we're told she goes with haste to see Elizabeth. Now, from what I understand, this is about a 50 to 70 mile journey. Probably took 3 to 4 days for her to get there. And we don't get any details. How many of you are thinking, what, a 13-year-old girl going that far by herself? We don't know. But she went with haste. She went, and then as she enters in, as she enters into the room and she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you pay attention in your Bible, notice what happens. When she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she didn't just say, "Blessed is the..." No, right? What do we see? We see she spoke with a loud voice. Right, I love. There are times I would just love to witness some of these things. Right, because this is one of those things that it's a God thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit's involved. The baby's leaping. She's prophesying at this point in time, because we're told the Holy Spirit came upon her as she spoke, and there's this sense of excitement taking place. But notice I said if we're going to accept God's call in our lives, we need to believe. I want you to pay attention, underline it or whatever. Something that Mary says as she's filled with the Holy Spirit later on, she says, "Blessed is she who believes." You know, Mary believed the words of Gabriel. She believed that she was going to conceive and have a baby as a virgin. She believed that the baby that was within her was going to be the Messiah. And most importantly, I believe she believed the following words that we saw last week from the angel Gabriel. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." What about you this morning? Do you believe those words on the screen? Do you believe that each one present this morning who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior is part of God's redemptive plan? Do you believe that God has created us through Christ Jesus for good works? You see, this is true of each one of us, and we have to believe it. We have to believe it despite our past. We have to believe it despite our age. We have to believe that we are part of His redemptive plan, and we have to believe it without doubt. So many times I think we hear the words of, well, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, and we think, well, that can't be talking about me. And maybe we look at our past, and our past is we see as a skeleton in our closet, or we think, I just don't know much about the Bible, or some, I've even heard some people, I'm just not a very smart person. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that doubt is one of Satan's greatest tools. He wants you to think something other than you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And if he can get you to have doubts, he will keep you from storing up all those treasures in heaven. He will rob you of the joy that God intends you to have because you're not going to be doing the things God created you to do. And it's so important that we believe, and not to just believe, but we believe that all things are possible with God. Now, when I say all things, that doesn't mean if you believe tomorrow you're going to wake up and be an Olympic swimmer, that it's going to happen. But all things are possible in accepting God's call for our lives to be part of His redemptive plan. And I was thinking through this, and I think through some of the conversations I will have with people. Because if some of you have been with us on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Acts. And boy, the beginnings of the early church. Crazy stuff. I mean, Peter preaches, and we're told 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I know I have said at times, you know what? God is the same today as He was then, and 3,000 people could be saved in one day through the ministry of Coral Ridge Baptist Church. You know how most people respond? God could do that. Folks, we need to stop using the word could, and we need to start using the word can. God can do that. Do you believe that? See the difference? Just even in what we say, you know, because ever since COVID, we've been hearing, well, boy, we're living in the end times. And I believe people have given up on the fact that God's still in the business of saving people. And you know, and you'll say something, well, I you know, often I say, yes, it is true. We are in the end times. But, you know, Paul thought that same thing, church. And I often will say, I either believe Christ is going to return soon, or it's possible He's going to drive our nation to their knees and there's going to be a revival. And usually I get the same answer. Well, God could do that. No, God can. And you know what's really cool about it? He wants to use us in the process. Do you believe that this morning? Well, I've got three. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Right? I mean, if you're here this morning, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to go a step further, and I'm going to say not only can God use you, He will use you. If you're willing to accept that call to do the things He has created you to do. And the reality is, He can use us despite our history. He can use us despite our backgrounds, despite our IQ. He can use us and will use us to do miraculous things. Why do I say that this morning to you, church? Because for with God, nothing will be impossible. And we have to believe that. If we're truly going to accept that call in our lives, we have to believe it. And honestly, I think that's the significance here of verse 45 in our Bibles. as Elizabeth would say, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And folks, I stand before you today as proof. 25 years ago, I hated to make a phone call to anyone. I'm still an introvert, but I was an introvert of introverts. And my wife did all the calling, all the talking, and I just sit around in the background. And God would take me through a journey that I did not expect. In fact, 25 years ago, I don't even know if I should share this morning, as I had agreed to be a youth leader, and one of the youth pastors said, I think God's calling you into full-time ministry. My response, and I quote, was, what have you been smoking? Because that was not me. And for him to say something just seemed completely ridiculous. And as I stand before you today, I don't want to take any credit for that, because the reason I am here before you today is because of what you see on the screen. God took a kid from nowhere, Indiana, somehow allowed him to get through Bible college with pretty decent grades. My wife is really the reason I scored well at all. She should have got a diploma. She proofread and fixed a lot of errors in my papers. But again, God is the one that receives the glory. And as we continue on, even as we think about the verses I've read this morning, at least to the second point I want to present to you this morning, if we're going to accept God's will, it can't be done in isolation. I believe God had a purpose. There was a reason that Gabriel said to Mary, your relative Elizabeth is going to have a baby in her old age. God knew before it ever happened that as Mary received those words, she was going to have a desire in her heart to run off and see Elizabeth. Little did Mary know that when she entered into the door of the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias and greeted them, what was about to happen. Folks, I believe Mary needed this. She needed to spend time with Elizabeth. She was about to go through the most difficult 9 months she would have experienced up until this time in her life. I say up until this time because I think it would have been the most difficult experience for her to watch her son die on the cross. A teenage girl betrothed to be married, found to be pregnant. Pregnancies out of wedlock today, people are like, 60 years ago, that was a different story. 60 years ago, there were a lot of shotgun weddings. People would get married because of a pregnancy that took place out of wedlock. And I think even when we have to realize it, we cannot imagine what it must have been like for a young Jewish girl to live under the law of the Old Testament. She could have been stoned for being pregnant. And who's going to believe her that she's still a virgin? The only person that knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt was Mary herself. And so this is going to be a 9 months of difficulty. And I think she needed this time with Elizabeth. She needed to hear the words, the babe leaped in my womb. And the words that we just read in this passage, she needed to hear that. And we're told that she would actually stay there for 3 months. I mean, Elizabeth is in the 6 months pregnant when Mary receives word from Gabriel. She goes off with haste. Mary sticks around until John is born before she heads back to Nazareth. Wouldn't you love to hear some of the discussion that must have taken place during those 3 months? Both of these women realizing, out of all of Israel, they're realizing that the silence has been broken. God's about to do something. John is prophesied about. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and Mary's going to have the Messiah. There had to be some excitement. There had to be some concern. And all these things they would share with each other. And I have to think, as Mary walked into that room and Elizabeth greeted her, the hair on her arms had to stand up. Because this was something that was taking place that only God could be given credit for. Folks, that's happening today. Do you believe that? It happened 2 weeks ago in this very room. Many of you, we talked about it a little bit, but Carmen was away chasing grandkids. So Kirby was asked to teach Sunday school. And Kirby thought I was going to continue on in my study in Romans. And I had decided and felt led to preach about Thanksgiving. And Kirby, you know, he would lead into Thanksgiving and Sunday school. And I mean, literally, Sunday evenings, we're talking here, talking about the blessings. Kirby says, I just am amazed at how God put this morning together, because it was truly a God thing. And I think he might have even said it one time, as he thought about it, the hair on his arm stood up. Folks, we need to share these. This is the importance of community. We need to talk about God. A community is not getting together, sharing a meal, you know, and talking about the weather and talking about how we're glad we're not up north where it's snowing. That's not community, although I am glad I'm not up north where it's snowing. But that's not community. Community is talking about, what is God doing? And sometimes we get so caught up in, we think it has to be an angel appearing or something grand, or even a church service where everything worked out in a way that humanly couldn't have been planned. But God's working in every one of our lives. And as we come together, each one of you should say, you know what God did this week? And I'll give you an example. It may sound silly. I've been aggravated with Waste Pro. If they're listening on Facebook, sorry. Ever since Milton, they've not picked up the agriculture. And so I'm like, okay, I'm this week I'm going to set out barrels, because I've had stuff in barrels forever. I'm just going to set it out and see if they take it. Now, I had a pile along the road, too, that I thought, that's probably still going to be there. I come home Friday from my bike ride, and it's all gone. I'm like, didn't expect that. Now, we could just say, oh, that's coincidence. Well, you know what? God has blessed us as a church in waste removal, because we put everything along Patterson Road. A few people came after the hurricane, and we actually trimmed some trees. We filled one of our driveways completely full of trees. And there are several other driveways still full of trees on Patterson Road. And one day I come home and I'm talking to the neighbor, and the neighbor says, yeah, they come and took all that stuff over there. And I asked if I could take and put my stuff on it. And they said, no, we're just collecting from empty lots. So evidently they thought our lot was empty and took the trees. And then we have this example here. And I'll tell you what, if you go to the other side of Patterson Road, there's still stuff everywhere that they haven't picked up. Now, we could say, oh, that's coincidence. Or we could say, you know what? God has blessed Pastor Joel. He doesn't have to think about that anymore. And believe me, you know, as living here on the property, being the only person on staff, I could give you a list at any time of things that could be done on the property. And that's just one less thing I have to think about. Praise God. But you see, it's that simple. It can be the small details of how you found something that was missing, right? You read the parable of the missing coin. What happens when a lady finds the coin? She rejoices. Or it can be something that took place 2 weeks ago, how God planned something together that we couldn't have done any better if we tried. In fact, we just couldn't have. And folks, even this morning, you witnessed another one of those times. Four young girls stood here and sung. I'm almost crying over there. Because 5 years ago, there were no young people in the church. There were no families. And you know, and in Florida, that kind of works, because retired people keep coming this way. But what a blessing to see what God is doing. And Lord willing, in another 10 years, the stage will be full of children singing. Why? Because God can. And we have to believe that, and we have to share. We have to be involved in community. We need that time to be together if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to be used by God to be the most effective individual that we can be in doing the works that He's created us to do. And, you know, so many times we community is not just coming together 1 hour a week. I am thankful. I'm thankful for the service we've had already this morning. But it goes beyond meeting once a week at 11 o'clock. In fact, we read the following in Hebrews. As it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I think so many times we use this verse, pastors, lay people, to say, you need to go to church. I want to use it and tell you it goes beyond that. And, you know, some of the things I described to you about community and some of the things we should be sharing, notice what we see in these verses. For he who promised is faithful. How cool would it be every time we come together, we all share how God has been faithful in our lives over the past 24 hours, 48 hours, of the last 7 days. I mean, when I open up the floor, every Wednesday night, Sunday night, I do this. When I open up the floor, you know, there shouldn't be any silence. We should all be excited, not because we want the attention, but we want to proclaim the faithfulness of our God, how he's working in our lives, how he's blessed us. And notice the purpose of this is to stir one another up for love and good works. One might say to stir one another up to do the works which God has created us to do. And again, I love how this passage in Hebrews starts out with, for he who promised is faithful. You know, and I think there are times, again, I think we also see at the end of this passage, as you see the day approaching, you know, we need this right now. We need to be involved in each other's lives more than 1 hour a week. We need to be building one another up. We need to be stirring one another up, because the reality is, as we look around in our world, it's a crazy place, isn't it? When we witness all kinds of natural disasters, we see our country has lost its moral compass. All kinds of activity with the nation of Israel, rumors of wars. But it's not time to give up. It's time to come together and stir up one another for love and good deeds. But lastly, as we're going to look at a few more words from Scripture this morning, I think one of the things we need to always, always, always remember when we accept God's call, when we do the very activities he has created us to do, is remember the importance of humility. The Bible has a lot to say about humility. James would say the following, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Peter would say, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I think about this as I think about the story of Mary, as I think about the greeting that she has received from Elizabeth. I mean, she is a young 13-year-old girl. Think about a 13-year-old girl today. You know, there's room for Mary to boast a little bit. I mean, if what I read in the commentaries is true, women prayed for the opportunity to give birth to the Messiah. You know, we could probably ask our parents of the children this morning, you know, if one of the children got something the other child wanted, would they remain humble? Or would they see what I got? You know, and the reason I say this is because the words of Mary, as we look at these this morning, as we look at verses 46 through 55, are words of humility. And I've added some emphasis and put this up on the screen for us this morning, but she starts out, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." I want to stop there for just a moment. Some people and some denominations preach that Mary was sinless. But notice those last words I just read. God, my Savior. Mary acknowledged she needed saved. And she acknowledged that the baby that she has within her is the one that's going to save her. And then we continue on, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Now, some have suggested that Mary probably was thinking through some of these things as she made her trip to Judah to visit Elizabeth. And upon the greeting, just everything that she had been thinking of flowed out. But why am I placing emphasis on the pronouns that refer to God? Because there are very few pronouns that refer to Mary in this section. Right? I mean, she talks about, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And generations will call me blessed." And those things are true as she references to herself. But why? It's not because of who she is or what she's done, but it's because of who God is and what he is going to do that she says these things. You know, if we're going to be used by God, if we're going to be good stewards of his grace, we would do well to follow Mary's example. He is the one who deserves praise. He is the one who deserves credit. Folks, we are just servants created to do good works through Jesus Christ. The thing is as servants, I mean, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zachariah, servants, but God used them as part of his redemptive plan. And as I said, Mary could have reason to boast. Yes, she's going to go through some difficult times, but there's some reason she could boast here. And the same is true. If we truly believe that God is going to use us, if we truly set out to do the things that we're created for, we're going to see God do some things. And you've all agreed with me this morning that you believe that. And it's so important that we remain humble, that I, as a pastor, if I'm preaching three times to a full auditorium for three services, I never say, "Wow, look what I've done." Would be tempting. And there are pastors who have fallen as a result of pride. Again, some of the tools that Satan used, he loves for us to have doubts. He loves for us to be prideful. He loves for us to think that we're doing something when in reality, without God, we can do nothing. In reality, we need to stop using the personal pronoun I. And we need to focus more on using the name of God and giving Him glory and pronouns that refer to Him. And what we see here in Mary's song, as it's often referred to, is a humble heart. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that humility comes from the heart. I mean, I could talk all day about how we need to change how we talk. And by the way, I think we can see that it's important how some of the words that we use, and we need to think about that. Even as I welcome you anymore, I've been saying welcome Coral Ridge Baptist Church instead of welcome to Coral Ridge Baptist Church, because I'm welcoming you, the church. We need to use words like can instead of could. We need to stop using personal pronouns, because the reality is when it comes to working for God and serving God, we can accomplish nothing without Him. But ultimately, the only way these things are going to happen is if God changes the heart. Because I can tell you, I don't want to hear you use the word I ever again. I want you to change your personal pronouns, and I can try to force you to change the way you talk. But if your heart doesn't change, it's not accomplishing anything. And that's one of the things next year we're going to go through a series on prayer, and some of that emphasis is going to be focusing on spiritual matters. We're going to look at some of Paul's prayers and what he prayed for, because I think we would be wise in praying for the same things. And a lot of that has to do with our spiritual fitness, our walk with Christ, that we would love Him more, that our hearts would change, and that we would understand His love for us, and on we see these things. But these are the things that we should be praying for. And even as I was writing today's sermon, I'm praying, God, use Your Spirit to let them see that their heart needs to be changed. Boy, He's worthy of our praise, isn't He? And I believe that humility is so important for us to remember as we accept God's call on our lives. As we find success in doing the works that He's created us to do. As we find success in making disciples, reaching others with a gospel message. We need to remember that we're just along for the ride. He is the one who deserves the praise. He is the one who deserves the glory. And actually, if you were to finish out the chapter, and I encourage you to do so on your own, you're going to see that John the Baptist will be born, and you're going to see Zacharias have something very similar to what Mary has said, where God receives the glory. And if you read the words of John the Baptist after he is able to talk again, you'll find he too gives credit to God. You know, I pray that as we have continued to our journey to Bethlehem, that you've been challenged this morning. It's always good to work through the Christmas story, to hear the news of how our Lord and Savior was born, but it goes beyond that. As we have seen this morning, it can be applied to our lives today. And it starts with believing that with God, all things are possible. Requires us to be involved and build into each other's lives, sharing of His faithfulness, exhorting and building each other up, and most of all, we need to be humble throughout the process. And since we do this, we can be part of His plan, redemptive plan. We can be part of His plan to fulfill the Great Commission. We can be used to bring glory and honor to Him. And in the process, we can be building up and storing up treasures in heaven, and we will find joy. And we will be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for just another opportunity to hear from You and Your Word. And Lord, I pray that as Your Word has been preached today, that Your Holy Spirit has been at work in the lives present and those listening in online. And Lord, that as a result of Your Word being preached today, lives have been changed. God, we thank You for just the wonderful day that You've given to us and the blessing that we've had just being here today together in your house. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I often make the invitation, you're always free to come if you want to respond. Easy for me to say to this morning's message. And again, if anybody, you know, if you've not believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd encourage you to come. If you have believed and never followed through with believer's baptism, I'd love to share some information with you concerning that. And you please feel free to come as we sing.
Stand with me.